from the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
Really, you walk by the streets and they're yelling at you with their goods, you know, inside. Hey, yo! You think, why is everybody yelling around here? The reason is you go to their home, they yell. Everyone's just, whoa. And it's amazing. What happens in your home, you take right into the world. And so you've got to set that culture.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope, coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu, pastored by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, a message Pastor Wayne gave on Father's Day a couple years or so ago, a message that will help dads learn to set the culture in their household. Now, if you're not a father, don't reach for that dial. Today's message has relevance to everyone. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, The Setting of a Culture.
Well, let's take out our notes as we start a new, fresh mini-series called Desperate Families. We want to concentrate on an assignment of making our families strong. And when there's a fracture, to repair it, use this season to repair. You know, I was thinking, in our world, we have so many resources for the family as we talk about one of the oldest institutions known to mankind, the family. But we live in such an advanced, technologically advanced society with private schools and specialty schools and after school programs and languages via computer and all of these tutoring methods and languages that we teach in school. Yet, one of the toughest things that we have is our families, and that's still being fractured. And I was thinking, you know, today we need to get a good dose of truth so it kind of shakes us up, but then hope for the future to correct us and then set us going again. But as you hear truth like these stats, listen, it just kind of bothers you. Listen to this, 35% of all American homes now are single parent homes. And in the last 10 years, babies born to unmarried women in America have quadrupled from 500,000 to over 2 million. But yet we have so many advanced things in schools and tutoring and all of these private schools. But one of the things I noticed is that we have a tendency when we have a good private school for our kids or something, we don't delegate our kids there. We abdicate our kids to that. We don't just give them a gift of a video game. We abdicate our kids to the video games and thinking that they're going to raise our kids well. And it's not. It's going to raise our kids poorly. Yet we're in the middle of the most advanced society around. Yet we see that single mothers have grown in the last decade from 3 million to over 10 million. And 75% of all the adolescents in chemical dependency hospitals are from single or fractured homes. And this is from the Census Bureau and the Center of Disease Control. And in the last decade, one state in America has reported a 700% increase in same-sex households. And every 90 seconds, a teenager commits suicide. We are in a nation of desperate families, and it's time that we as families and parents stand up to the task and say, enough. It's sort of like, you know, when you have a few cars mess up with GM, they will recall a whole bunch of them. When there's like 3-5% messing up, they do a major recall. And it's like there's 50% divorce rate in America and there's no recall. And we want to stop and say, let's reassess. Now, at first, truth is not fun to take. It's like, ouch, you didn't have to bring that up. But you'll never be able to make a correction unless you come back to truth. Otherwise, we'll be in a drift and we'll kind of refurbish ourselves in the drift and get nicer in the drift and color ourselves and paint our houses, etc. But we'll still be in the drift. We'll just look better in the drift. What the truth does is it brings us back and then we correct. And then you drift and truth brings you back. So you're not so far off and you just look nicer in the drift. So truth is important because here's freedom. The Bible says, what will set you free? The truth will set you free. And that's always not fun because first it'll make you miserable. But we've got to hear the truth. Sort of like the Portuguese guy that was going overseas and they were saying, you got to go on a mission trip. And he said, no, I don't like it because, you know, third world countries, they eat funny and all kinds of stuff. No, come on. So he finally said, okay, all right, I'll go. But better put me in 5-star hotels. And he said, no, well, it'll be fine, really. So he went to the Southeast Asian country. And lo and behold, in this remote village, they put out this spread. Man, it was the best food. And he was just eating away. And he said, man, this is great. How do you say to these people, good food? I said, we don't know. You know, we don't speak their language. And so all the missionary team was there. So he was just, and the guy came over and cooked. And he said, oh, wow. "Oh, wow! Oh, wow!" And the cook said, "No, not oh, wow. Bow wow. Bow wow." See, sometimes the truth isn't always fun. But we are a nation of desperate families. And you know what's going to happen? In this age of desperate families, children are going to start asking questions about truth and error. Is this really truthful? Is this truth or is this truth? Which way should we go? What should we do? And it happened long ago when the children of Israel, the fathers and the warriors, would build altars with stones. And this would be evidence that God had appeared and God had done something great. And then it says this, that your kids are going to one day ask about this and you'll need to have an answer. And it's a kind of an exhortation to us as parents that we'll need to know why we believe. Because if we don't give our sons and daughters answers, where will they get answers from? They're going to get it from video games, locker rooms, and their peers down the street corner. We're going to have mistutored children. We as God's people need to have answers. In fact, let's read this at the top of our notes together. Joshua 4, go. "That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in times to come, saying, 'What do these stones mean?' Here it is. Then you shall..." Yeah, would you circle those? "Then you shall answer them." We need to have an answer for what God has been doing. And I'm going to speak to the fathers mostly and primarily today, but this is a word for any man in this place, that we as God's men need to stand up in this time and take leadership. And we've got great women, and we're so glad for the leadership the women take. But you know what? I think sometimes we have women taking more load than they should, and it's not because they're great, great warrior kind of people. No, a lot of times because men, we become too passive, and we need to start joining in on the fight and take a little more responsibility that God has given to us and a mantle that He's given to us. So I want to exhort men today to stand and take their place. At the same time, this is a word for women, parents, sons, daughters, grandfathers, and grandmothers, because these principles go across the board. Well, you say, well, where do we start if we're going to look through the windshield rather than just a rear view mirror and see what we can do and hope for the future rather than just see how bad our past is? We need to have hope. That's right. Where do we start? You know, I know that if in golf, if you hit the ball in line with the hole and you hit the dimple that's right in line with the hole and you don't pull it or push it and you don't come over it or under it, you just hit it real square. You don't have to look to see where it's going to end up down there. When you hit it correctly here, it'll be fine out there. But if you're one dimple off here at the point of contact, at the basics, if you miss one inch of the basics over here, where will the ball be down there? Yeah, about three fairways off, two dead cats, and three broken windows. Yeah, it'll be way off down there. So what do? We want to make sure that we're hitting it square here. So let me give you two things today that just will help you hit it square. So we come back to the lowest common denominator and how to develop families of success. The first is this. First basic is this. And I say to the parents, you are the ones that God has designed to set the culture of the home. You set the culture. Now, every home is going to have a culture. It may not be the one you want, but you've got to nurture, you've got to cultivate that culture. So you got to know what kind of culture you want, ambiance, atmosphere. Do you want truth to reign or an untruth? Do you want your home to be a place of rest or always constant reprimand? Do you want it loud or soft? You set the culture. Do you want it to be one of faith or one that says, well, whatever? Do you want it to be something where you compromise everything or you try to teach them the ways of God and hold to that? You have to decide. You have to decide. If you just take a plot of ground and you just water it and you don't really cultivate it with anything, just fertilize it and water it, what is it going to produce? Yeah, healthy weeds is what it's going to produce. But if you want to have an orchard of oranges, what do you plant? You plant what kind of seeds? Orange seeds, right. If you want orange crop to come out, you pull out everything that isn't an orange and you plant only that which is. You're cultivating a culture or an orchard. And the same is true with a home. You set it. You want it loud, soft. You know, when we went to Turkey in the Middle East, near Middle East, there's They just yell all the time. When they talk to each other, they're right now. And really, you walk by the streets and they're yelling at you with their goods, you know, inside. You think, why is everybody yelling around here? The reason is you go to their home, they yell. Everyone's just, whoa. And it's amazing. What happens in your home, you take right into the world. And so you've got to set that culture, the decibel level of your home. I remember some years ago, my kids were yelling and yelling and yelling, Mom, Mom, bring me some water. Mom, come do this. And one day it was just going crazy. I was just going nuts. So I said, everybody, come here. So we all sat down. I said, from now on, no more yelling in our home. It's driving me nuts. Aaron, if you want your mother, don't yell from your room. Walk. Use your legs, not your mouth. Walk, 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 okay? And go up to your mother, and if you can whisper, that's the tones that I want in this house. Mother, could you help me on this? Yeah. And Amy, you have a phone call. No yelling from now on. And so we just set this thing in motion. So we're just going to keep this soft because we want a place of rest. And even till this day, you'll come in, we'll play soft music, just real quiet music, because that way we can sit and rest and gather our thoughts. You decide what kind of culture you're going to have with the atmosphere that you'll have, the tenor of the place, the disposition of your home, everything. In fact, let's read together what it says in Matthew 12. Go. Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. Yeah, you decide what kind of orchard you're going to have. Parents, you've got to set that. You've got to set that, and also the kind of morality that you have in the house, whether it's going to be inconsistent or consistent. Is it going to be truth or error? Will you tolerate compromise? And you're the one that sets it, parents. We're the ones. If I'm yelling at my wife, but I tell my kids no yelling, it's going to be inconsistent. If I get angry all the time and tell the kids, nobody gets angry, it's inconsistent. Remember this, you can have religion, but that's something you teach. You know what is your faith? Is what you live. See, if you really want to know about a man or a woman, find out how they are at home. That's their faith. That's their true bottom line faith. You see, your faith is what you live when no one's looking. Your religion is what you teach so you get people to look. But your faith is what you really live. And that's what God wants to have in our homes. That's so natural, so genuine. That's what will somehow influence our next generation. And so God calls us to be that kind of people. Otherwise, you know, you've seen that, the inconsistency of religion and your faith. You've seen people yelling at their kids, yeah, you shut up, shut up. I said, shut up. And the wife says, honey, phone the pastor, shut up. Hello, praise the Lord. Yeah, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, and the kids are standing there thinking, whoa, this is nuts. And what happens is they grow up thinking that religion is something you turn on or turn off. At your disposal, at your convenience. And we have people that are 35, 45, 55 years old that can turn on religion and turn it off. And boy, when they're around religious people, man, they can turn on the words. They got all the lingo. And then right around the corner, they turn it off again. Why? What happened? Well, they lived in a culture that breeded that, that said that that was okay and sanctioned that. Well, who sanctioned it? The parents. You see, parents, dads, we're the ones that set the culture. And we got to set boundaries too, because as I said, if you're going to have an orange crop, you plant orange seeds and you remove anything that's not orange seeds. It's two things that have to happen. And let me talk a little bit about the other. Let's read this next scripture together. Go. Do not move the ancient boundaries which your fathers have set. Would you circle the last three words? Fathers have set. Fathers, you need to set ancient boundaries or boundaries that don't change. What? Yeah, would you write in the bullet there? Lovingly enforce God's standards for life and blessing. No, not in anger. Lovingly enforce. Because you set boundaries and they'll always be pushed against. And if we're too passive, what'll happen is the boundaries will get pushed into oblivion and now you have no boundaries. You know what makes a river strong and clean and forceful and life teems within that river? It's its banks, the boundaries. If you take away the banks, The river goes into a swamp and it breeds only mosquitoes and snakes. But if you bring strong borders, it begins to have direction, it has life, it's clean, there's strength to it. And the same is true in life. Our society says, remove all borders. And we do that and we wonder why there's fractures in families and everything's diluted so much. And even our patriotism is cut right down the middle now in America. There's no direction that all of us are moving in anymore. Because the borders, we want to move borders out completely. And God is saying, no, it's not something that is a dictatorship, but borders are godly. Don't move the ancient boundaries which your fathers have set, which means fathers set certain boundaries and lovingly enforce them. No, not in anger, lovingly. And that's going to require you to know what God is saying about morality, about truth and deception, and how we live that and model that in our homes. It's just got to be something you model. Because remember, can I just say this to many of you dads? Your greatest influence and your greatest contribution will be in the next generation, not in this. Because it's not what you have done. It's going to be seen in what others do because of what you have done. That's the key to your legacy. Not what you have done. It's what others will do because of what we have done. If they don't do anything, then we've not had leadership or influence, you see. So you can't measure it in this generation. I've got to measure it in the next. And God is saying the legacies that you leave will be how you live. So you've got to lovingly enforce certain standards. Otherwise, the devil would love to do this, to dilute your boundaries so that more people will like you and you'll leave no influence and there's no direction that you've left behind. Because when you set some boundaries, even lovingly, you're going to have people not like you. But remember, folks, this life is not a popularity contest. You'll get no rewards because you're popular and everybody liked you. No. If that were the truth, then Jesus would get nothing of a reward because they murdered him on a cross. But you heard the Father say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." We live for an audience of one. And so you've got to lovingly enforce borders that God will be pleased with. But it's not always fun. Not everyone's going to like you. Let me tell you a story of a friend of mine who was a dear friend. We grew up together. And one day he called me and said, "Hey, Wayne, I want to come to Hawaii." And I said, "Oh, great. I want to visit. Oh, man, that'll be great." And I said, "We've got a living room. We got a pull-out bed. Why don't you stay there? Save you some money. And our kids are at home. And so just come in and jump in with our family." Great, great. I thought, oh, this will be cool. Well, 2-3 days before he came, he called up and said, "Hey, we're ready to come." I said, "We?" He said, "Yeah, we. My girlfriend and me, we've been living together for like 8 months now. And so we want to come and stay in your living room." I said, "Ooh." So, you know, in our home, we really try to enforce the standards of God. And the Bible says that the law of the Lord, or the ways of God, are perfect. And I'm trying to teach that to our kids, that the parameters of sexual involvement is marriage, not romance. And you know what? Bring your girlfriend over and she can stay at our house and Anna will host her. And I'll put you up at a hotel. I'll even pay for it. How's that? And you come over and spend time. But, you know, and he's, what? They say, "We've been living together for 6 months now, man. We're not going to change for you." I said, "You know, I love you. You know, you're my friend. But it's just something I really believe God's asking us. And I really don't want to compromise that. And my kids will be there, too." And, "No, man, you're a prude. You're ancient. You know what? You're obsolete." He said, "You're obsolete." I said, "Maybe so, but anyway, that's how it is." And I said, "If I go to your house in the mainland, I would defer to your authority and I would respect you and what you would see as a standard. So I'm just asking that you just lovingly try to do that." He hung up on me. "So you're obsolete, dude." Oh, and you know, and my heart, I'm human. Oh, God. Oh, man, it's crazy. Well, even though I wrestled with that and I didn't hear from him for about 8 months, and then he finally started calling me again. But let me just fast forward the tape till today, because this was maybe 18 years ago, 20 years ago. Let me fast forward the tape. They got married, and they had 2 kids, and they actually moved to Hawaii. They come to the church. They're both saved, and both of their kids, I won't tell you who they are, but both of their kids are here in this church and wonderfully involved and growing like crazy in Christ. Is that cool or what? But you see, at that time, it was horribly hard. But I take a look at how it's come around, how God has restored. You know what the Bible says in the book of Psalms? The law or the ways of the Lord are perfect, restoring the soul. Now let me ask you, if I would have buckled and compromised back then, do you know how much it would have confused them today? Because now they've got kids and they're trying to teach the ways of God. And I said, but, this is strange. You see, one of the things we as fathers need to do is lovingly set parameters. Now, by the way, often we have a tendency, because of our society that teaches us this, to be passive. We just say, well, whatever, you know, whatever they want is cool. Can I encourage you? No, don't do that. Make sure that you're not someone that's passive. Stay strong so that you can enforce God's standards lovingly. In fact, the Bible says this in the area of discipline or correction. Let's read Proverbs 22. Go. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Would you circle the words bound up? Because you see, the Bible says foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but only discipline is the word will drive it far from him and remove it. You see, if we allow our children to grow up without discipline, they'll be 40 years old, 30 years old, and they'll still think foolishly because foolishness is bound up. And the only way it'll be removed or separated is through discipline. And who's going to discipline? The parents have to discipline. Now, I'm not saying punish. Let me tell you the difference between punishment and discipline. The Bible never says punish. See, punishment is motivated out of anger. And it focuses on a past misdeed that the child did. So I'm going to punish you. That's not what God says. You did what? You dumb kid. See, so we punish because it's motivated out of anger, focuses on a past misdeed. But discipline is motivated out of love. And it focuses on that child's future behavior. Some time ago when Aaron was about 13, He just really spoke back to his mother. Like, what do you think, Mom? You think, you know, and he just said some things. And I stopped him and I said, Aaron, get in your room right now. What? You will not speak to your mother that way. Nope, come into this room. What? So he sat down and I said, Aaron, I love you too much to let you say that. He said, what? Yep, I love you so much, I'm going to spank you. What? And if you can't handle spanking, if you're too much of a wussy, then I'll ground you. Which one would you rather have? He said, what? So I said, you don't understand, huh? You see, I love you too much to let you speak to your mother that way. You know why? Because if I tolerate that and if I'm just passive to that, you will grow up in a culture that says it's okay to disrespect people in authority, especially like your mom. And because you think it's okay, because I didn't do anything, then you'll do it again, because it's okay, and you'll get your way, because you're taller than your mother now, and you think you can get your way. Now, what's gonna happen is you're gonna grow up, and you'll think it's fine, because we tolerated it, and you'll start to speak against police or anyone in authority, your teacher, your principal, your advisor, your boss, and one day you're gonna say that to the wrong person at the wrong time, and you're gonna get decked or fired or something. And I look at you and you're in prison because of all your disrespect to authority and wanting to do things your own way with rebellion, and you're in prison and I wonder, how did that happen? I'll tell you where it started. By me, your dad, tolerating what you just did. I love your future more than you love your future right now. And I can't let that go. So what do you want? You want to be grounded for a week or you want spanking? You see, you can't let it go because discipline is motivated out of what? Love. And focuses on their future behavior. Now, punishment is motivated out of anger and focuses on a past misdeed. And the Bible never says punish kids. It says discipline them in the ways of the Lord. Because those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled The Setting of a Culture by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. We invite you to visit our online store for more helpful resources from Pastor Wayne. His books, music, messages, the Life Journal we at New Hope follow. Go to enewhope.org and click on the resources tab. That's www.enewhope.org and click on the resources tab. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.